And what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Knights of the Round Table. It's part two. We haven't changed or anything. We're literally just rolling into the next set
Same
of questions.
Because
we're trying to do stuff that's more lighthearted.
Lighter hearted,
you know? We're drinking wine from the same vineyards and pronouncing things how I want to pronounce them. And nothing matters anymore.
Six clones.
Nothing
Merlot.
Even matters.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah, so if you listen to part one, let us know. Get at us if you like us just talking about random stuff. Because we totally don't mind just coming off the cuff and just saying some stuff and making it a little bit, you know. Who knows what the
profound.
Hell we're going to say.
We'll make anything profound.
But we have a list of 10 questions. However long it takes us to get through these 10 questions is how long this podcast will be.
Yo.
Okay?
So we're going to start with that girl's question, right?
Yeah. We'll start with that girl's question because we be answering questions that y'all send us. She said, can you believe in the law of attraction or manifesting what you want and still be a Christian?
My first thought to that is absolutely yes. That's part of being a Christian, I think. Speak things that aren't as though they are is manifesting. Mm-hmm. The law of attraction is about your thought life affecting what mm-hmm. actually happens in your experiences. And if you have positive thoughts, you can have positive experiences. You constantly have negative thoughts, you can have negative experiences. I think that is also how a man thinks in his heart, so is he type mm-hmm. of thinking. So I feel like these are all tools that God has given us. So there's so many tools that God has given us that maybe the church or religion or whoever has deemed unholy or not of God for whatever reason. Even things
because
like,
it sounds too spiritual. It sounds too Eastern. Eastern religion.
Well, even astrology. Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Literally, the Magi
the church,
found Jesus because of stars.
Exactly. Ask somebody their sign in the church, like, oh, we don't believe in that. You know, but then it's like, well, how'd they find Jesus? They followed the stars. So I say to that woman who messaged, yes.
Yeah, I know. I told her. I was like, literally is what faith is. You know, in Matthew, it's Matthew 11:24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours.
Yeah.
Just literally manifesting. It's literally mm-hmm. believing something before it happens, until it happens.
Amen. You know?
And the law of attraction to me, it's just, I mean, it's simple. Law of attraction doesn't, it sounds like weighty, but it's just, the deep in you connects with the deep in me. I will attract who I am. So whatever I build myself, that's what I will attract.
You attracted me.
I did attract you. a lot of that has to do with how blindly good looking I am. But that's...
Oh, God.
Okay, next question. You want me to go to the next question?
Yeah,
yes, please.
Let's do it.
What's invisible that you wish people could see?
The intentions.
Oh, there we go.
If you could see intention.
That was one I was going to say.
Oops. Intentions.
How would
I
that
wish...
mess up our world? Any type of hit on. If a dude's hitting on you, ladies would have no kind of break,
business
broken hearts.
Intentions. I think of like any kind, like in the entertainment industry and like a music artist signing to a record label and like they're saying all the things they want you to think, right? Like, let me say all the right words so we can sign this artist or whatever it is. But really, you can see their intentions and if they're telling the truth. That's just one example. But I mean, intentions.
I go directly to relationships.
Of course.
If you could see people's intention for you, man, that would be, if there was like a little bar above their head. They would go to the red if they have bad intentions and the green, you know.
Could you imagine in politics if we could see intentions?
Oof.
I still don't understand how we don't get that it's all a game. That we're literally being pandered to. It's just like, say what you need to say and whatever. But yeah, I wish there was a visible thing so that you can at least understand that you're signing up for this. And you can still make your decision. You can still, you know, make excuses for yourself, but if you could see intention, mm-hmm. that would be.
Another thing kind of similar along the same vein of that would be
seeing what the truth is. And I think right now, like in the age of misinformation, it's like, what if there was just one thing? Like, when you would hear a lie, there would be this thing inside of you that's like, that's a lie. Mm-hmm. And when you hear the truth, there would be like this ching. Mm-hmm. Yes, that resonates with me. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we can make this super spiritual and talk about discernment and all that stuff and your ability to discern what the truth is.
Intuition.
But like,
but what would the visibility of a truth look like? So what do you feel about truth that you can now personify? So like when you hear truth, what do you feel? And then what would that feeling look like? So that way you would see it every time
Pinocchio.
It happens. Oh, so the lie would be a Pinocchio sign?
Your nose grows. Wait a minute, sir.
Like in a metaphorical sense. Like you'll see somebody's nose grow. Their nose doesn't actually grow, yeah. But you see it grow.
Okay, but then I could ask the same question about what does it look like for intentions to be personified?
Like, so for me, it looks like a bar.
Okay, like a meter. Like yeah, some a sort meter of okay.
Over.
So then that could be like, it could be like a check or like an X. Like mm-hmm. A green check would represent the truth has been spoken. Or like you could even look on like different things happening or different people and their speeches and their messages and their sermons and a lot of other stuff. And you could start to see, oh, this actually isn't the truth. Like, that would be so crazy. Like, I'm not even, probably some people immediately jump to President Trump's talks. What if we could just jump to Sunday services? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many lies are being spoken in the pulpit? Now, again, I feel like I can say this and I could critique somewhat because I am in a pulpit and I do speak. But it's like, dude, how many, like if we could have that meter in our Sunday services, what would it look like? For preachers, mm-hmm. for pastors, for teachers, all of a sudden who have been entrusted with this holy platform to now have the accountability to speak the truth, which almost sounds silly when you like voice that out because that's ultimately like what we're called to do is to speak the truth in love. But like how much now that has become a showcase of talent or charisma or gifting and all this.
This is where I would want to see both meters.
I just thought of something
too. I want to see both meters on this one. Truth with intention, specifically with what you're talking about, because I don't want to judge or fault a preacher for misinterpreting this thousand year old book. But if I can see the intention meter,
that's a good actually,
and then the truth meter and the same thing, then they're really thinking, I got this right.
Right.
Then it may over here on the truth meter, it may go to false. Because God is the ultimate truth. And he's like, this is false, but this guy's heart is right. So you can look at him and be like, let me go look this up. But he wasn't trying to lie to me. He just doesn't know. Let me go look it up.
So so that intention wouldn't necessarily be malice. It would just be, they're just immature in the sense that they don't understand the truth in this degree.
Correct. But and if they have bad intention and told a lie, then you know, they know they're telling a lie and they're trying to sell me on it.
Coming down to interpretation, right? Like, it could be maturity in that, or even if it's the most mature, spiritually mature person, but still got it wrong because how dare we think we can figure God out type of thinking. You know what I mean? Like, could you imagine, like, as you were saying that, I was imagining a preacher on stage and that, like, bar, that truth bar over his head as he's speaking. And as he's, like, speaking it out, seeing the bar himself go to not truth and he's like, oh shoot, and then like keeps going with his notes and seeing like actually you got it wrong, like, oh no, I'm getting this wrong. Like, I feel like a truth meter,
I don't want them to be able to see their own bar. I want them to know that the bar exists because they see the bar over other people.
That's life already right now.
No, it's not. If you know that
everybody could see everyone else's faults and not their own.
No, I'm talking about actual truth and because you think you know everything.
Right.
But if you see the truth meter over somebody and you think, oh, you're full of shit, but then the truth meter goes to the truth side, then you instantly recognize, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Whoops.
You know what I'm saying? But if you're able to see your own, then you're going to be walking in a constant state of, I don't want to say anything. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you know other people can see yours forces you to be honest.
Well, so maybe he's standing there speaking and he's seeing all the people in the congregation look at his meter going, ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
And he's all, like,
But I don't even know if it'll get that far. Think about it. If you knew that everyone can see your meter, then you would always approach everything with the best intention.
Yeah.
And your best effort.
It would put you in the place of doing your due diligence with humility.
Utterly, because you know they can see. So you can't bullshit somebody. It's literally like really staring at a situation and recognizing that God is here.
That's a really good question. Let's live with that meter in mind.
Right?
The meter. A good one.
Intentions, truth. Let's go.
What secret conspiracy would you like to start? What secret conspiracy would you like to start? Think about all the conspiracies that went around. Pizzagate. What else went around?
What are some of the old conspiracies?
The Illuminati.
Like, before I did.
We didn't UFOs.
We didn't land on the
moon. We didn't land on the moon. You know,
the Earth is flat.
If we could start one, what would it be?
I don't want to start one. Okay. Nope.
All the good ones are taken.
I was going to change the topic to if we could see the truth of one. Which one? If you could pick one conspiracy.
Oh, I'm down for that question.
That would be completely like God open. Everybody had to like accept, because you could have this conspiracy and be like, here's a documentary showing you how that's a lie. People still don't believe it. But let's say there was this one day where everybody knows God, the creator of the universe, is going to tell us one conspiracy theory that's absolutely fake so people can just shut up already. Which one?
One conspiracy theory. It would have to be, I would want to know. No, I don't care. I don't want to say I don't care about the killing of Kennedy, but I think it would have to be something in the biblical sense, because there's conspiracies all throughout the Bible. And I think I would like to be told the truth of the resurrection, or have been there. At least be able to step in time at that moment so that I can confirm the resurrection. That would be mine. Because it is a conspiracy. It is to most of the world that does not believe what we believe, that is one of the biggest conspiracies that Christ rose from the dead.
That's good.
And
it's our whole religion hinges on that.
And there are some Christians like Martin Luther King Jr. who didn't believe in the actual bodily physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, which he received flack from. So there are believers who don't actually believe that Jesus himself in physical form resurrected. Now his spirit, that's another situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be interesting. You stole mine. you know, I don't like, I think there's part of me, the conspiracy of like, yo, who really killed Malcolm X?
Right, that's a good one too.
You know, like some of the conspiracies in regards to figures like that. Like another one, I'd be like, you know, these things of like,
or why did they kill him? That's the real thing.
Who
why?
And why?
Why? Why did they kill him?
That's
why
interesting, because I watched
Tupac and Biggie.
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
but these aren't conspiracies. These are actual real killings, though.
Well, no, but there are conspiracy theories around them. Tupac why is still did alive. They die?
Okay. Oh, you're right.
There's conspiracies. Pac
but
is
conspiracy
still
is right, like right. is why. Now. So people think that Martin Luther died for this, or they think. But right. unless you were there and then did the killing, you don't know why. So there's just conspiracies around these things.
Yeah. So I'd probably have to go with that. The who and the why behind Malcolm X. That's interesting. After I saw that series on Netflix,
yeah,
has me like peaked.
Yeah.
Like, ooh.
I would say they drink the blood of the kids.
This one, most recent one?
Yeah,
with Maria Abramovich, the artist who's like does like these like spirit paintings and stuff. And it's
I don't know about that.
Oh, that's something different.
No, this is like, okay, so I think it's like Pizzagate, but Pizzagate is a pedophilia ring yeah. right? Okay, so this one is that there's kids like underground in tunnels and they have this like thing in their blood.
Oh, yeah, because the conspiracy was like Kevin Hart was a part of this.
Yeah, like such ridiculous.
Drinking the blood of like young black kids for like.
To stay young or something.
That would be a good one, too.
I would like that one debunked. please.
Yeah. What part of a kid's movie completely scared you?
So, anything having to do with the parent dying.
I'm wondering if at any point in your life, what part of a kid movie scared you? Land Before Time.
The mom dying. And Lion King. Mufasa dying. Bambi. The mom dying. All the dying.
All the dying things. And
yeah, those parts scared me in kids movies.
That's funny. I'm trying.
You know what scared me low key was watching Air Bud for the first time when that came out. Air Bud was the golden retriever that played basketball. Not that part, but the villain in that was like, he was like this part-time clown, but like a real ratchet looking clown, but he ends up like stealing the kid or the dog. I forgot what it was, but I just remember as a kid thinking like, oh my God, these clowns are dangerous. Like they're out here running these streets, just like swooping up kids and dogs. And I remember being like scared of this man. And I was like, dude, are clowns like this? Like, I had to be like third grade when I watched this. So it's like my mind's jumping to all these, like, I'm sure this is what the mind of a conspiracy theorist feels like. Like you just jump to these conclusions where there's no conclusion there. And you're like, and then that part really scared me because I was like, oh man, am I safe? Like someone could just come swoop me as a kid, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I've never been scared as a kid in a kid movie or.
Oh, also Jafar on Aladdin. The first time seeing him like evolve into that, like that demonic snake. Oof. Scary.
I don't remember any kind of fear like that.
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
What is a weird childhood crush you had? Like a celebrity or famous or...
Weird? Does it have to be weird? Like, I know yours is weird, right?
Yeah. That's why I thought of this question, because I was like, I wonder if anybody else had a weird childhood crush.
But define weird. What makes it weird?
Well, mine was Beetlejuice.
That's weird. I was nauseous. I can't watch that movie.
I had such a crush on Beetlejuice. Oh, why?
I was nauseous on that.
I don't know why I did. I really did, though.
I don't have any weird crushes. I don't think.
Yeah, my crushes wouldn't be weird. They felt very much more like along the normal lines.
I mean, unless you consider crushing on Little Mermaid because she's a fish. No. Jessica Rabbit. But what's not to crush on? Like, even though she's a cartoon, like, she's fly.
She got cartoon boobies. She got cartoon booty. She got
hips and the booty.
Cartoon smoky eyes.
Her hair looking like this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yo, she looking like a Coke bottle.
That's funny.
I like that.
Speaking of Jessica Rabbit, I worked on a TV show years ago. I was a stand-in, and there was a woman on the show. I forget which department she was in, like... sound department or something, whatever. I believe she was married to an editor or something. I forget. An animator, I mean. I forget the whole story of how it worked. But her walk was the model for Jessica Rabbit.
Whoa.
So she was the one that they drew after. And I forget what the connection was. Either it was like her husband or somebody she knew or whatever. And then... I still to this day cannot walk in heels very well, and I think it's because I'm bow-legged. Pretty sure it's because I'm bow-legged. But I remember one day I told her that I didn't know how to walk in heels, and she was like, well, bring a pair of heels one day, and on our lunch break, I will teach you. And so I brought a pair of heels to the set, and on lunch, she practiced with me and taught me how to walk in heels.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Jessica Rabbit taught me how to walk in heels.
That's fire. Who else can say that?
Right.
One low-key crush I had growing up was do you remember that show called Cousin Skeeter, where it was like Cousin a puppet Skeeter. This one actor, he had this like puppet. This was kind of like, yeah, around that phase where you had a puppet that was kind of like animated or whatever.
Okay.
And so it was like his Cousin Skeeter, but Megan Good was in that, like, she's young.
A young Megan Good?
Yeah, young Megan Good. And I was like, oh, man, Megan Good, she is so fire, you know? Funny because years later, obviously, when we moved down here, we know someone who's really good friends with her. So we got to meet her. So, like, young me was just, like looking at her, like, low-key, like...
How you doing? It's good.
Sit right next to me.
I don't know if it would be weird. I had a crush on Alyssa Milano. But who didn't? Yeah, who's the boss? Normal. Come on. That's, yeah, I didn't have anything weird.
All right, moving on.
You may or may not have an answer for this, but what is the best inside joke you've been a part of? Did anyone have one?
I can't share mine because it makes me look like a terrible guy.
And I have one that I can't share. What either.
I'm not gonna share it because, as you guys know, most of my upbringing was spent in church. Now, one of the ways that I met my best friend Jordan was we met at kids' church because we both sat in the back row and simultaneously we both heard each other roasting other little kids in kids' church. And so we looked over at each other and was like, yo, I think we're best friends.
Did we just become best friends?
So,
yep.
20 plus years later, we're still the kids sitting in the back of the church roasting on people. So we've had a lot of inside jokes with different ministers over the years. And so we've been to a ton of conferences together. And, you know, there's some preachers who, you know, they have that favorite story, and it doesn't matter where that sermon is going, it's going to end up on their favorite story. And so there was this one guy, and I'm not going to share his story because where I know him, and I don't know, I'm a little bit scared. But anyways, like whenever me and my friend talk about something serious, we'll always go into that story, and I'll be like... Like, you know what, man? Dude, the Raiders are 2-1 right now. Hey, did I ever tell you about that one time that I was riding the bike, you know?
Yeah.
So it's always the inside story because
that's funny.
No matter what your sermon is, this illustration somehow fits
that
it.
That is funny. I like that.
I wish I could get more detailed, but...
I know. What's yours, babe?
What?
What's yours?
An inside joke that I've been a part of? Mm-hmm. I don't really have good inside jokes, gotta be honest. I don't really know any that me and my friend have that I've been able to be a part of. Because I just kind of like make them outside. I'm kind of like forthcoming.
I just thought of when we were in New York last year. What was that one thing you said that one night that kind of became a thing?
Turns out. I still rock turns out, but not as much. But turns out was my jam all last summer. Turns out I did drink a little bit of wine today. And I'm feeling it.
Oh, that's funny. What's the weirdest thing a guest has done in your house? I have one.
Go for it.
I dated this. Have I talked about this one before?
Yeah, I don't like this story.
Is this the poo?
The Laker girl poo? That's the craziest thing anybody's... Laker girl poo. Sorry. That's the craziest thing anybody's ever done is the super hottest chick took the biggest dump in my house and ruined my porcelain. For days to come.
Ruined my porcelain.
That's the weirdest thing, right? I've never had anybody do anything. I mean.
So this was, let me see. So this would have been early 2017. So before we moved to LA, we had a friend who was visiting from out of town, very, very far away out of town. And he was like, hey, I would love to spend some time with you guys. Let me stay at your spot. Now, at that point, we're just in a one-bedroom apartment, but it's like a luxury one-bedroom apartment, you know? Premium dollar for all these amenities that you don't really need. And so we have a surround sound in our thing, and we're like, hey, the best we could give you, bro, is you sleeping on our couch. We promise our couch is super comfortable. Now, there are a little bit of like some unspoken rules when you stay at someone's house. One is if they have snacks and there is one bag left and they have not offered you that privilege to have whatever you want in our cupboard, if there's one left, you shouldn't eat that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if the people you're staying with are deciding to go to sleep at a reasonable hour and they give you the honor of using their Netflix... You probably shouldn't play the most action-packed, loud war scene movie ever.
Oh, my God.
And on top of that, you know, like, if someone's asleep and you're in a one-bedroom apartment, you think, hey, let me be careful with moving these things. I'm not going to be slamming glasses and slamming cupboards and all this sorts of stuff. So we're asleep, and this is probably about maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And you could just hear chip bags like,
no.
And on top of that, like, he was watching a war movie and he has the volume turned up, like, not on like a like an actual level where it's like, all right, let me quietly like kind of enjoy this movie. Poof, poof, poof.
Oh my God.
Explosions. So the next morning, I'm tired as hell. I'm mad as hell. And I'm low-key like ready to kick this dude out of our spot. And I go to our cupboard and bruh has just devoured half of our snacks for the week.
No.
Like, not even like, let me take one here.
Hail.
Not even the thought of like, you know what? Let me try and find something late that's open right now. It's like, no, actually, let me just eat up all your snacks in your cupboard.
Oh, no.
And dude, when I tell you my wife was mad, Maddie was pissed. She's like, he is never staying over our house again. That's it.
Was he more your friend or her friend?
He was my friend.
Okay.
But we were like, we were really tight. So it was more like, we're doing you a favor because I know you've come a long way. So here's a place to rest your weary head. But you'll never have a place again.
No.
Don't eat snacks, all the snacks, and don't play war movies at 2 o'clock in the morning with surround sound completely turned up.
Can't. I don't understand that person.
Yeah, it was bad. And he drank all my chocolate milk.
Rude.
And that's a big deal because the chocolate milk that I was buying at the time was premium. I sound so bougie right now. But it was like so good. And he just drank like a half a gallon of chocolate milk. My chocolate milk.
My chocolate milk. I can't think of a thing a guest has done that is like
thing?
Stood out to me. I can't think.
No?
We'll move on.
Okay. Okay, then this one you probably didn't think of anything either, but what mythical creature would improve the world the most if it existed?
Mermaids.
Why?
Ooh.
Because they could clean up all the trash in the ocean and collect it.
So you just want fish trash people?
Well, you said they could better the world. I think mermaids swim and live in the water, but also have hands.
So we just want some.
They have hands and they could talk.
Aquatic trash men. So none. That, yes. Not the fact that they're magical, but they'd be able to clean the
you
ocean.
You said they have what they I would help. You.
No, give them an actual earth. Pragmatic thing. Okay.
What's yours?
I think if it was a mythical creature that would improve the world, it would be unicorns.
And how would they improve the world, sir?
How can you not see a flying horse with a beautiful horn in his head and not be happy?
Just be awe-inspired, like, man, God did that.
Could you imagine, though, when you see seagulls fly over you, your thought is, do not poop on me. Could you imagine a horse flying over you?
Nah, but there's no evidence in mythology that unicorns poop. So, but a unicorn, man, a flying unicorn, like, but bruh,
like a cutesy unicorn. That would be just so like.
I don't know anybody
like
that,
a My Little Pony unicorn. Yeah.
If you could have,
I accept the My Little Pony unicorn. That's like saying, a like, hummingbird unicorn.
I don't know anyone that wouldn't, because that's like one stain. Like we use that terminology in today's society, and we say, you know, he's a freaking unicorn, or she's a unicorn, meaning that
never seen it.
You just never seen. So it's such a high standard.
It's so rare. So
it would take away that saying, but it'll also bring the saying to life because you're like, yo,
yeah,
there's freaking unicorns.
He's a unicorn, which means he's average.
There, but they can't be everywhere. They just have to be like select, and they show up when they want to. But they're real, and we know they're real.
I would vote for leprechauns.
Because I'm scared. I'm already scared because that leprechaun movie.
I know. Never.
Berries and cream. Berries and cream.
But if it was Lucky Charms leprechaun, then I would love it.
I forgot about that commercial. But I just thought like, yo, what if they like, what if these leprechauns were just super generous with their pots of gold? Like they're just like cashing out, hey, like
making it rain.
Hey, you need some help? Hey, here's your second stimulus check. Here we go, you know?
Yo, like, but knowing us,
giving out food, berries and cream.
We would kidnap the freaking leprechaun and be true. Like, where's your damn pot of gold?
Give me you that know? Rain. Give me that rainbow.
It would be so sad.
What if it was the tooth fairy was real and really brought you money in exchange for teeth? And then you go meet up with your boy one day and he's missing like two teeth. And you're like, yo, what happened? He's like, I fell on some hard times. I was broke. I had to do what I had to do.
Yo, but what if the Tooth Fairy was handing out like 401ks and stuff? Or you know what I'm saying? Like real investments.
You get some Tesla stock. You get like, some stock. Here you go. Punch you it get out.
Some stock. That would be dope if the Tooth Fairy, because she would have to get with the times. You know what I'm saying? So she would be handing out Apple stock. Oh man, that would be amazing. What would be the worst thing for the government to make illegal? If they made something that was legal now, illegal, what would be the worst thing?
Freedom of speech.
Oh my God.
That would be tough, man.
If they made freedom, we couldn't have this podcast.
Yeah. You know, like you just think about how, dude, how that would be such a prison to be in. Of like, you have now, you do not have the right to voice these very diverse, eclectic thoughts. Like, even too, just discussing like things openly about our belief in the values and the teachings of this person of Jesus, of like not being able to now voice some of those things. You know, like, I think that would be the thing that would probably be the toughest, because like, I'm not a gun owning guy. I think nonviolence is very much so my approach. Like, I don't, my dad owns guns, you know? I personally do not. But, like, to me, like, losing that wouldn't be a big deal for me. I know for some people, that's, like, everything. They're moving out of California because of that very thing. But freedom of speech, whew.
I mean, go down the line then. What if they made religion illegal? Like, in certain other countries? Like, what if they made not just ours, but religion, period?
Dang.
What if they made it illegal?
We would lose our soul as a nation.
What if they made divorce illegal?
Dang. Whoa, Manny. That's a good one.
You're not allowed to get divorced or you'll get thrown in prison.
Whoa, there'd be a lot of roommates.
Working it out. All of a sudden, open marriages sound real attractive. Even to the church.
And then too, they would even put a weight on the front end.
Yep.
Of like, before you get married, you now know how serious this commitment is.
Would you get married though? Would you still get married?
Yeah, I would.
I mean, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I plan on divorcing you. Not, so.
But I'm saying, if you have fear, like you're.
I don't have the option to divorce you. Take it back.
Think about it though. If you have fear at all that it may or may not work out. And divorce is really not, now we like to think of it as not an option, obviously, because that's what our religion has taught us. But if there was fear of prison, I feel like the weight would be heavy and not in a good way. I feel like it would be in a very bad way.
I think it would be one of those things that attributes to, like, the Bible uses this one kind of passage. It's like, be sober-minded. Not necessarily in the sense of like, hey, you can't drink and, I mean, you know, whatever. But in the sense of being, having your thoughts very clear and you understand what is at stake here. Because I think like, I found my person with Maddie and I'm going to do whatever it takes to fight for that. And what she has shown me and what she has told me is she's going to do the same. So like, I think there's some people though, like, who will hop into marriages very quick for the sake of like, I don't want to be.
They're burning loins?
Yeah. Burning loins. I am.
I don't think that's a thing anymore. That's an old school way of thinking. I kind of think people now just have sex.
They just banging on the
low. I think they're just banging, you know? And if I think they get married because they think they're just supposed to.
I mean, yeah, most Christians these days, I mean, the number would be very low of people who've actually waited for marriage. Like, and I think like, I forgot what Paul's reading. I'll have to circle back to this at some point, but it was talking about how premarital sex in a lot of evangelicals' eyes, like, is not wrong anymore. So a lot of people, it's like getting married to be able to have like sex is not really a thing anymore.
Right.
As much as it was kind of at the height of purity culture.
Probably because they realize it's the worst idea. You don't even know how that sex is going to be on the other side. You know?
I was reading this one tweet and it was like, He was like, yo, y'all can have sex. It's okay to have premarital sex if you don't plan on getting married. And then he was like, follow me for more biblical loopholes. He's like, it's not premarital if y'all ain't getting married.
Oh, that's funny.
Welcome to my Twitter. Follow me for more biblical loopholes.
That's hilarious.
That's funny.
Oh my God. Did you say yours?
What is the question again?
What would be the worst thing for the government to make illegal?
That was a good one. The thing that popped in my head now I think is dumb, but was driving. Like if you weren't allowed to drive anywhere, like I don't know, maybe there's too many drunk drivers. Forget it. You ruined it for everybody. Nobody's allowed to drive.
Oh my God, could you imagine the public transportation system? We'd have rails everywhere.
It would be banging.
Walking in rails. Cities would be designed completely different.
Wow.
Completely different.
Them little scooters.
But I think vocations would, I think that would have, if there was, you weren't allowed to drive, then the technology push would have been a lot quicker, a lot sooner. Mm. Because they would have figured out a way to work from home.
And make Jetson cars.
Or work together, you know. And it would be weird. It would be weird. But that I feel like technology would advance if you weren't allowed to drive. Because then I honestly feel like we'd already be having jetpacks.
Yeah.
Someone would have figured out. All the time they spent back in Ford, when Ford created the automobile, or whoever was before him, they would be figuring out how are we going to, you know what I'm saying? Like it would have pushed the idea of man flying a lot quicker. Because we still got planes, but then it would have been like, well, how do we fly, like, personally? Like, if we want to get from here to there quicker, what do we do? Would helicopters be a lot cheaper?
We'd have Iron Man suits, like exoskeletons. Exactly. Which would help us like, perform I feel like and it would run faster and move faster.
I feel like
and
it would
jump.
Push technology quick.
Wow.
That's a man. My mind is like running through all these things right now.
I like
that's
your questions
cool.
now. I didn't like
yeah,
them.
Yeah,
you
didn't, but now you're freaking.
Yeah, she's messing with them.
Okay, this is a good one. What motivates you to work hard? I don't want to go back to being poor. And I know that may sound, I don't think money is everything. I don't. I think this is a Drake line. Drake says something about this where he says something about money can't buy you happiness, but I like it better when I can buy anything that I want. Oh, but I like it better when I can buy what I want, get high when I want. It's at the end of a song. Mm. And I feel that because it's like, I don't think money is everything, but I remember being poor and I know what it feels like now. And I like it better when I can buy what I want. I really do. So I think the idea of being poor again pushes me to work hard. And the idea of being able to give without being in lack pushes me to work hard. Because I know how generous we like to be, and it would really suck if that would run out.
That's pretty much mine. What motivates me to work hard is that I get to be in this position that I am for my family and my friends, to be able to help those who need help, to be able to, like you said, give without, like you hear people saying like, oh, they would give you the shirt off their back, and that's admirable. But I probably won't give you the shirt off my back, but I'll give you one of my other shirts, or I'll go buy you one. You know
what
I mean?
Literally given the shirt off my back.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is I like to be in the position, like you were saying, to give without lack. Like, you like the shirt? Well, I'll get you one, and we could both have one. Like, that kind of mentality.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, there is something definitely better to having money than not. And only because of what you can do with it. Like, this world works off of that system. So I remember the day that me and Ange realized that having money was awesome. And that was when we started building wells in Africa. And they sent us our first picture of the town that had our well. And our name inscribed in the well. And we looked at it and we started bawling. And I was like, this is why we have money. This is why we have money. Like, it hit me so hard. This is why we have money. Because for a long time, there was this fear that if I give too much, I'm not going to have enough. And in our world, and I don't know you listening, but we don't have anyone to turn to. There's no rich uncle. There's no rich aunt. There's no rich any family member. My whole family is medium to poor. So there's zero people that we can turn to if we actually needed something, because everyone we know is living check to check. And that's a scary ass thought. So when I say I don't want to go back to being poor, it's not that I just love money, but I love the freedom that it's given us to help and to not run out for ourselves, because we don't have anybody to turn to.
That's one thing that drives me too, is the fact that some of the freedom that can come with having some money is there's a lot less worry of like, am I going to be able to make it this next month? Haven't been in that place in a long time. And I'm truly grateful for that. I'm thankful for that. Or the fact that like, hey, if everything were to hit the fan right now, we could live for another couple years, you know? And I think the other thing that drives me to work hard is my legacy, you know, like I think about it, and I could be crazy for this, but I think about, and this is one of the things that kind of keeps me in check. It keeps me focused, keeps me grounded, is I think about honest conversations I'm going to have with my kids someday, where I want to be able to give them the best possible answer when they ask me whatever question it is. It's one of the things that drives me even right now, saying some of the things that I say and sharing some of the things that I share on Instagram, is in this age, in this time, when history looks back on this, where, what side did you stand on? And not even trying to get divisive right now, but like, again, hopefully you said something. Hopefully you weren't silent. Hopefully you did everything you can to learn and to educate yourself so you could stand with other people, you know? But I think about conversations I'm going to have with my son and with my daughter. I'm going to speak that into existence. And think about like, wow, Pops, like I get to have this blessing of a life, and I get to able to have a great education, and I get to go on these experiences and go on these trips, and I get to see the world. And this is all because of what you and Mom did by you guys working hard. Like, you guys afforded us to live at this quality better than how you guys had it as kids. And that drives me, dude. Like my son, my daughter, they're somewhere in spirit. I don't know them yet. They don't know me. At some point we'll meet and I'll be able to truly say like, yo, your pops grinded his ass off so you guys could have this home. You know, and so that's the thing that drives me, my legacy.
That's dope. What is your go-to song for karaoke night?
Switching it up here, changing the vibe.
I hate karaoke. I don't do karaoke. I've only done karaoke once in my entire life.
We gotta just do it.
And that was on a cruise.
That'd be fun.
Bro,
go to K-Town and do like the private rooms.
Yeah, we gotta do
where it's just us. It's just us though.
I know, I hate it.
Yeah, you still do it. We'll get William.
I hate it because I think it's...
William will loosen it up.
I think it's because, you know, like always... I think there's like a deep... Because I toured for my whole life and because there was always this stigma of, oh, dude, you love being the center of attention. Now, I don't ever like to be the center of attention if I don't have to be. So if my job was to be the center of attention when I was on stage. That was my job. So when I got off stage, I ran from it, which is why I've never done karaoke. Only once when we did the guy trip on a boat. And they were like, you got to get on. You got to do with this. Sing? We did an Eminem song.
Oh.
It just did the same. Yeah. And then that was the only time I've ever done it in my life.
My go-to karaoke, the only time I remember actually doing karaoke was in Guam, and it was at a bar after hours because it was after our show, and they kept the bar open for us. And so there was maybe like 10 people left, and they were like friends of the owner or something. And then me and my crew, and we just did karaoke. And that's the only time I remember doing karaoke. But my go-to song is Four Non Blondes. When I wake up in the morning and I step outside and I
take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream at the top of my lungs, what's going on? Yeah. If I had to do it, if I was forced to do it, I don't have a go-to song because I don't do it. But if I had to do it, if I thought of one song that I would want to sing, My Way by Frank Sinatra.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I would freaking murder that song in the worst way possible. Like, I would not be able to sing it as good as him, I would go for it.
I would kill it. It would be a lot of like, you could turn on most of Drake's catalog and I could probably sing that and rap my heart out. Mm-hmm. But as far as singing, low-key, one of my favorite songs of all time is For You I Will by Monica. It was on the Space Jam soundtrack. And that's when I first heard the song, fell in love with it. But like, I know every single run she goes on that song.
Oh, I just thought of another one.
And dude, I like low-key. I cannot sound terrible. I'm not going to sound good. I'm somewhere in between good and terrible. And that line right there, dude, I'll crush it.
Deborah Cox.
What?
How did you get here? How did you get here?
You do be singing that.
You're not supposed to be here.
You do be singing that.
I sing it all the time.
Yeah. That's funny. Last question. If you could hire someone to help you, what would they be doing?
Let's see. What does Jaquie do?
We kind of already have
more
one.
Like, what does Jaquie not do?
If I could hire someone besides the person that, we currently have, I would hire someone to help me with this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Like, produce it.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind producing it. I love producing the actual physical work.
The physical, line producing, physical producer of it.
Editing, having to remember. It's really tough. That's why I can't wait.
Patreon. Like, all your notes right here would be like printed
someone
out
do
for,
it for
us.
Me.
Somebody, we'd be in a studio and they'd be telling us in our ear, like, what next?
It's literally the only reason why I created Patreon, because I'm like, oh my God, please, Jesus, don't let me get tired before we get to a place where we're making money. Because my fear is that I'll get too tired doing all the behind the scenes stuff that I won't want to do the on the scene stuff.
Yeah.
That's like legit one of my fears of like, I don't want to get tired of this. I won't be if I can just show up and just do me. Like,
Be the artist.
Yeah, be the artist. So if I got somebody, it would be to run this behind the scene thing and upload and edit and work with Ryan. Ryan's helped a lot. Shout out to Ryan. I love you, bro.
Ryan, you are the best. The best.
Yes.
One, two, three. I think for me, it would help me with everything that's going on with my training, my coaching stuff. So like my training schedule is like insane. Like so much to the point where I've really had to like every day I'm having to constantly look at my Google Calendar to make sure that I'm not missing sessions or appointments and booking like weeks in advance. Mm. So if I could have somebody that could just like learn from me, follow me, and I could teach them, but then also have that extra body in sessions, it would be a huge help. Cause like, I'm like running around. Like this is for example, on Friday, I burned close to 4,000 calories for the day.
Holy crap balls.
I didn't work out at all. Whoa. This was just how active I am in training sessions.
Wow.
And this is all basketball, like all skill development, all that sorts of stuff. So being able to have that extra body to use as like in drills and stuff like that and be able to get rebounds so I'm not chasing stuff down.
Right.
That would be amazing to have like an intern in that way.
Oh, that'd be dope.
Dude, you could find someone.
I know.
Like a high school basketball player or somebody who wants to.
Anybody in the Los Angeles area listening right now with some
like a high school kid?
Yeah.
Like how dope
knowledge.
Would it be to get paid to be an assistant
or an intern
to doing privates. You get to go to all the cool. Yeah. Intern. Intern.
Learn from me.
Yeah.
I'll give you the sauce. You can make the Getty.
Yeah.
That's a good one, babe. But you, you already have one.
And also someone low key to do like stuff around the house, because I always feel bad because I be lacking sometimes. Sorry, Maddie. I love you.
That would be good for us too. So I don't get, I don't lack, but I do get mad at my
wife.
Like,
I do it, but I don't do it with joy. You know what I mean?
I get mad at Ange for stuff that I'm like, oh, I wouldn't be mad at her if somebody else was doing this, helping me. Which I guess we kind of do have someone helping me. Any other questions that popped to your head?
Well, there was the one question I wanted to ask us. Brandon kind of touched on it already in a different episode, but of somebody who has helped you get to where you are today. Like, you wouldn't, you literally wouldn't be where you are at in your career or field if it was not for this person. I'll go while you guys think.
Go for it.
My friend Sandra McCoy, who is amazing. Back when I was still home in San Jose and wanting to be an actress, but not really saying it out loud because it was so far-fetched of an idea. She had moved from San Jose to LA, and she was in music videos. She was in commercials and things like that. And she told me, if you move out here to LA, I will help you get started and I will help show you the ropes. And so I did, giving you the short version of the story. So I did. I moved out here. She kept her word. Not only did she help literally teach me how to do certain things, what photographer to shoot my headshots with. She gave me her clothes, her hand-me-down clothes, because I was poor. I didn't have no clothes. So she gave me all her clothes, gave me all her wisdom, gave me all her tips and everything, helped me with a resume, helped me with auditions, helped me with everything. I would not know. I mean, I would have learned it over years, but she was like a wealth of knowledge, gladly giving me. I never felt like I was like stepping on her toes or like being a burden to her. Like, she would gladly help me.
Yeah, she has that spirit about her.
And from when I started doing stand-up, I remember in her living room, standing in front of her fire pit, practicing my jokes to her and her boyfriend and our friends, and standing in her living room doing that. And so to be where I am today in my career, I know for a fact there's so many people in my life. There's my sister who paid my rent for me and who did all kinds of stuff for me, sent me money to gift certificates to get groceries so that I could eat while I was out here chasing my dreams. Like, my sister is another one who I definitely wouldn't be where I'm at. But I know for a fact, Sandra McCoy, I am where I am today in my career because of her.
Damn, I don't know if I could. I couldn't pinpoint it to one person.
I know somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be so happy to play this clip for him and send this to him. Ryan Price is he is that guy for me. I mentioned him in another podcast, but he's one of the first guys that saw the potential that I had in the game of basketball and said, I want to do everything I can to help you reach that. So I'm in. This is, I think, fourth going into fifth grade. So I'm not in fifth grade yet completely. And he looked at me and saw me and said, hey, you're going to play Division I basketball someday. And I want to help you get there. And starting in fifth grade would come pick me up, like, just out of his own goodwill. Like, was never, like, charging my parents money, you know? Like, it was literally, like, can you imagine? Like, you're in your 20s somethings and you are investing in a kid that you believe has the potential to be that. Like, it's a long time before he'll actually get there, graduate high school and receive a Division I offer from somewhere and go and play. And then dedicating your mornings to get up at 5:45 to go pick him up and pushing him and showing him and telling him, like, everything that you know about this game and doing your best to connect him with other guys who you know could, like, help get him there as well. And, like, dude, I remember our conversations early morning. I remember, like, as a fifth grader, hearing him talk about, like, what it means to be a man, what it means to be a good man, and having character and doing the right thing and not succumbing to peer pressure and just all these sorts of things, man. And, like, I'm forever grateful for him and his influence in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I realize, like, that was like a godsend for me. I wouldn't have gotten to the place that I got to in basketball without Ryan Price. And like, and even in college, there was a couple moments where I was really like struggling with my confidence, and off court things were affecting on court performance. And he would just encourage me, like, and just like shoot me texts and be like, "I believe in you, B. Smitty. I believe in you, B. Smitty," like all the time. And it was just like, so thankful for him. And that's one of the reasons why I do what I do now, is because like, I realized the impact that he had in my life growing up, and the chance that now I get to like, I get to impact kids in that way. Like, it's a little bit older, but in the same way, I'm like, dude, I get to have an influence, which is kind of low key my hope these days, is like, there's a lot of adults who are effing this thing up right now. And I'm like, I don't even know why you think the way that you think, you know?
Yeah.
But when I look at the kids, I'm like, the kids are all right. The kids are all right. And that's the hope, man. And that's why, like, I actually invest my life into these kids, because I believe in them. So,
if I had to say spiritually, it'd have to be Pastor Johnny. He took a chance on me.
You have mentioned him a lot.
From Orlando, Faith Assembly of God. Pastor Johnny saw a little kid that looked like a drug dealer and invited him to come rap on stage. Hey. And literally changed my life. Never stopped rapping. So, but it was also what got me saved. So he did a good job as a youth pastor. So spiritually, it would be him. As far as, though, like my dream, I couldn't, the reason I couldn't say one is because nobody pushed me into it. I pushed myself. And then there was key players that came along when I, so like from Ja Ja, you know, the first producer that worked with me on an album, my own solo album. It was me and him, and I would go to freaking work my balloon animal job and then drive back home, and then I would stop at his house and we would record till like 2 a.m. and then I would go and do it all over again. Me and him in his closet in Orlando, Florida. It was just creating this thing that we didn't even know what we were doing, but we did it. So Ja Ja Binks, his name is Ben Ja. He's an artist too, really good. B-E-N-J-A-H. And then Josh, Josh Alltop, who got me even where I'm at right now, invited me to come fly to the studio and see if I wanted to like still do music. Cause after 2 failed attempts at it, you know, Alltop invited me, and now I'm doing the sync music, and I'm my happiest I've ever been. And low key, I can't even not say the other Josh who hates me now and doesn't talk to me anymore. He did the same thing a couple years prior. Even though he probably, you know, he wouldn't acknowledge me now, but I owe my second wave to him and to the guys, Eric and Dr. Seuss and Anthony and all those guys. So there's multiple players that I've played that I couldn't just name one, because they've all done something to really freaking push me to that next level. Grateful for all of these people. So that was a good question though, babe.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad that you like mine, because they were good. They were good. You were being a hater.
I was.
New possibilities, man.
I don't know how long this is because I didn't start a new session, so it's all good. Hopefully you enjoyed it. it's as long as however it needs to be.
That's right.
Because we said what we needed to say.
Come on.
You know? Thank you for everybody who's listening. Thank you for everybody who's sharing this podcast. It means the world as you share and tell people about it, because that's really the only way we're going to grow and keep making it happen. And a absolute thank to all the Patreon members who are financially supporting every month. If you want to be a part of that, description, the link is in the description, and you can log on and help us out. If not, we still want you to listen and share, because we love you.
Yes.
And we pray that you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours.
Cheers.
We love you guys. Truly do.